then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. We looked at that last Sunday. The apostles' teaching is the good news that Jesus is the one that God has provided to take away your sin and to be righteous for you. Trust him. They devoted themselves to that teaching, and listen to what else the Bible says, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And all those who had believed were together, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. And listen to this other reference. On the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them. Is there any certain word that you hear there that we find out that the church's mission is pursued with a focus on the gospel? And secondly, the church's mission is pursued how? Did you hear a word in there a few times? What is that word? Together. And that's a subject that we're going to think about this morning, that the mission that God has for you and me to grow up into Jesus and to go out for Jesus is to be pursued together. One of the great blessings that God has blessed me with in my life is a great family. I have four great brothers, a mom and dad. And you know what's awesome about having a great family is throughout your life, the help and support that a great family gives you as you go through life. I mean, I think back, of course, I remember very little about when I was a baby, actually. But I know that when I was a baby, I couldn't take care of myself. I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't protect myself. I couldn't help myself take the right medicine when I was sick, but I had a mom and dad who did. I think about as I grew up, I remember times when I was in my neighborhood and I was attacked by other kids in the neighborhood. I remember one time very clearly there was a guy named Kyle Shea. We used to call him Peach Fuzz because he had a mohawk right here. It was right down the middle. Shaved everything else off, Peach Fuzz. And one day Peach Fuzz, for whatever reason, was ticked at me. And we got in my front yard and we began to roll. I mean, we were going in the dirt, we were tumbling around. And finally, through I don't know what, some amazing miraculous move, I got on top of Peach Fuzz. And while I was on top of him, all of a sudden, I did not realize my little brother Steven was inside the house in the dining room. He was watching out the curtains, you know. And as soon as he saw me topple Peach Fuzz, he came running out the front. I was dying laughing. I'm sitting on top of Peach Fuzz, and Steven's sitting behind him pulling his hair. I remember one time my older brother Scott was at a bowling alley. And apparently he had riled up some of the other bowling patrons there. And my brother Tim calls me on the phone. My brother Tim is at the bowling alley, and Tim in a very hushed tone. But if you know my brother Tim, he likes to rumble. But Tim calls me on the phone, and he says in very hushed tone, he says, "Now, Ted, don't tell Mom and Dad what's going on, but Scott's in trouble. Get her now." Bang. So, boy, you love that. Your brother's in trouble. Boy, I put the jacket on. And I go to the bowling alley. All my other brothers showed up there. We were ready to go, man. Now, thankfully, nothing happened. But you know what? When there's been times in my life when I've been under attack, my brothers have been there. When there have been times in my life that I was making a mistake. It's funny, I have notes. Do you guys know that when I went to college, there was no email? Can you believe that? I actually got mail sent to me. And when I was in college, I have a bunch of letters. I kept all my letters that my brother sent to me. I was the first one. My older brother and I went at the same time to two different colleges. And I have letters. At the time when I went my freshman year, I was dating this girl, and it was a mistake. And my brother John knew it. And I have these letters I got in the mail my brother John sent to me. Now, Ted, you know, he was really, like, advising me, you know, and he was right. When I was making a mistake, my brother was there. When I was hurting, a couple years ago, I was in the hospital for almost a week. As soon as that happened, my mom was on the plane, and she took care of her baby for a week. And my brothers were here, were concerned, calling me. When I was hurting, they were there. When I've done well, when God has blessed, you know what's so sweet to me? Last year, on the opening day of this church, January 4th, every single one of my brothers who live in Kansas City and all different, they were on an airplane. They were all in this room a year ago in that morning. My family has been there for me in all those times when I have been discouraged. And I've had to really want to talk. I can talk to my parents and my brothers. When I've been in need, some of you guys know, one of the special blessings very recently in my life, my old Pontiac Bonneville finally went to the other side back in summer. And I was without a car. And one of my own brothers gave me one of his cars. So it's been a huge blessing in my life and a huge support to have a family. You know what I thought about? In almost every one of those cases, I think about in my life when I have been under attack, when I was making a mistake, when I've been hurting, when I've done well, when I've been discouraged, when I've been in need. Do you know that also there's another family that's been there for me? The church. And I could honestly say to you today with all my heart, I would not be here where I'm standing this morning were it not for the church. That's the truth. Now, I want to ask you to think about, those of you that are familiar with the scripture, what two terms has God chosen to describe our connectedness to each other? When God describes the church in the New Testament, can you think of the two expressions, the two ways that God calls the church a certain thing that describes how connected we are to each other? What are those words? Does anybody know?
Body.
Body is one. The Bible describes that the church is a body. That's how connected you are to each other. And what's the other one? You've heard me say it a few times already. What does the Bible call us? A family. A body and a family. You know, one of the things that has brought my brothers and I so close together this day, I mean, I feel very close to all four of my brothers. And by the way, some of you guys know my brothers, and a lot of you don't. But every one of us, except my oldest brother, who's very docile, I think he's the nicest person who lives on the planet. Outside of him, the other three of us, or four of us, are very strong-willed. And I can tell you many, many times growing up, when we would be toe-to-toe, and things are not good. But you know what? My mom and dad determined from when we were very little, we were going to do this thing together. When I was growing up, our family had dinner together every single night. My dad decided that's why it was going to be in the Strickland house. Every Friday night was family night. Every Friday night we played games and watched movies. That was going to be, my parents decided very early on there was going to be no such thing in the Strickland house as you're off in your room and you're off doing your own thing. We're going to do this together. One of my favorite things I remember is every Sunday night in our family, we'd have dinner together, and we'd sit there for hours around the table. Everybody sat in the same seat they always sit in, you know. And just like to me, that is such a big blessing today in my life, because my father determined that our family was going to go through this life together. So God, our Father, has determined that for all of us. You know, God wants each of us to be together for two reasons. Number one, because He knows that we need each other. He knows it. Now, I want you to look at Romans chapter 12, if you turn to the New Testament. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. Romans 12, verse 5 says, "So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." All of us in the church, the Bible says, God our Father, my Father, tells me that I am absolutely in need of you, and that you are absolutely in need of me. And by the way, let me pause to say this, and we're going to get into the subject today. You're going to know that you're thinking right about Christianity and what it means to follow Jesus when you think exactly the way I'm going to describe this morning. Then you're thinking right. The Scripture says we are individually members of one another, that we, all of us, are parts of one body, and we're so connected. I want you to look at a couple books later, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, just a few books later, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together, how? By what every joint supplies. According to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. According to God my Father, just like when my dad decided in the Strickland house, this is how it was going to be. God our Father, for everyone who knows Him and trusts Him as Savior, has decided that you guys absolutely need each other, and this body is going to actually grow up effectively and go out effectively when every individual part is properly supplying their part to the body. Now, by the way, we have a couple of doctors in this room, and you don't have to be a doctor to understand this. I mean, can a person live without one of their hands? Sure they can. Can a person live without their foot? Sure. Can a person live without their gallbladder or their kidney or one of their eyes? Yes. But would the body function more effectively if they had both hands and both feet and the kidney and both eyes? Yes. Sometimes you'll meet people that say, you know what? You know, I love the church universal. I'm not to give it the church visible, but I love the church. It's out there somewhere. God has decided that the way the church functions in each one of us in our own life is that we're absolutely connected to one another, and I will never fully be what God wants me to be unless you help me. And nor will you fully be what God wants you to be unless we help you. Will you accept and embrace our Father's determination that we need each other? The second reason that the Bible tells us that God our Father wants us to be together is not just because we need each other, but a corollary to that is this. God our Father wants us to do this thing together because we can help each other. The Bible says in Genesis, as a matter of fact, God made this very clear in the very beginning of time. Genesis chapter 2 says, God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Therefore, I'm going to make him a helper that is suitable for him. God recognized very early on that we need companions going through this journey. One of the great texts of the Bible that tells us this is in the Old Testament, in the book of Ecclesiastes. If you turn there, right in the middle of the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, right after the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 through 12. Look at what God says. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. I like what someone said. Life with the church is the pursuit of God in the company of friends. All of us together pursuing maturity to grow up into Jesus and to go out for Jesus, and I am pursuing Him in the company of a lot of friends. That's why the Bible says, let us consider how we can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. How can I encourage Harrison to grow up into all that God wants him to be and just help meet his needs as he grows? Or Lee, and look around this building, we start naming all of our names inside this room. The Bible says, consider how you can do that, not forsaking your own assembling of yourselves together. In other words, how can I stimulate my brothers and sisters as we all on this journey together towards heaven if I keep a distance between us? If I voluntarily choose to not do this together, to not be together in person? I can't. The Bible says, then don't forsake the assembling of yourself together as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near. You know what, this morning, what God is calling some of you, who I would call to this point in your life, who have been free agent Christians, God is calling you to a church home, to have a family, to begin to exercise your part there, and to let people nourish you and you nourish them. He's calling you home. When I was talking to my mom last night, and we were talking, my mom is speaking it to some ladies this morning, and we were talking about a situation that happened in our family several years ago. And one of the things I told my mom, I said, you know, Mom, I was telling her what I'm going to speak about this morning. And I said to her, I said, one of the things I have to tell you is I think to my life and to this day, having such a solid family in my life, one of the biggest things it's done is helped me to endure. When you have behind you brothers and a mom and dad who believe in you, who know you, who care for you, there's nothing like that in your life. I don't care where you are. That helps you not to give up and to endure and to be everything that God wants you to be, because you have such a support system behind you, and it's the exact same way in the church. And that's why I say to you guys, no kidding, I honestly would not be where I'm at right now this morning if it were not for the church family as well as my family, because my brothers and sisters in Christ in this church have helped me endure. And they're going to do the same thing for you in your life too. You know what? God is calling each of us to orient our lives around the family. That's why one of the core values of Down City Church is that we are relationship-oriented. And if you are a healthy Christian, according to our Father, your life will be oriented around the family. You're going to take your place in there, and together we're going to pursue this growing up into Jesus, into going out for Jesus. And this means that we are going to be counter-American culture. What happens in the American culture is this. All of us have been grown up, who've grown up in this culture, understand that the American way is to be independent. You do things on your own. We're all seeking our own dream. And whoever we meet on the way up the ladder, or the great, you come alongside, but it's all about us. And we're all living our own individual lives. It's not that way in the church. The church is not to be a bunch of disconnected individuals who have a gathering place in common. We don't know each other. We're not living life together. We come to church together. We all hope to hear something good that will help me in my life this week. And maybe I have one or two friends inside the church. But instead changing my mindset and saying, wait a minute, I'm going to learn to pursue life not independently, but dependently on the rest of my family. And I'm going to intentionally enter into unconditional friendship, unselfish friendship in the church. It's at that point, according to Scripture, that you're really going to be able to pursue and succeed in the mission to grow up into Jesus and to go out for Him. And so this morning, that really means that is a real change. Now, as I said, instead of being a bunch of disconnected individuals who have a gathering place in common, now we're brothers and sisters who have a family in common. And that's how we see it. And what does this mean practically? This means practically, what does it mean? It means that when the church gathers, we gather. It's just like I told you, growing up in our family, Friday night was family night. Sunday night, dinner, the family was together. When the church gathers, we know this, the Bible says they gather on the first day of every week. Down City Church gathers on the first day. It ought to be the normal desire of the church. When the church gathers, you're there. Because you are pursuing, we all are pursuing this mission together. We have also set up a time for us in the middle of the week as a church family. Right halfway through the week, we've gathered together on Sunday morning. And then we gather together in the middle of the week to interact, see how things are going, to pray for one another, to look at the Scriptures together. We gather when the church gathers. And so I encourage all of you, I need you. You need me. You need everybody else in the center. And you know, for so many of you, it's going to be a wonderful chance with the beginning of a brand new church for you to actually begin doing the Christian life the way your father intended you to do it. You have a chance to do that. Why don't you decide, when the church gathers, I will gather. And I will tell you, as we charter the church, that's very important, gathering together. Practically, it also means that we are going to cultivate gospel-focused friendships outside of our corporate gatherings. Not just that I see you guys or you see me on Sunday morning for a few hours, or even on Wednesday night for a couple of hours, so we see each other 5 hours out of 168. But that we intentionally, during the week, on a Tuesday or a Friday or whatever it may be, we are seeking each week to gather outside, to have lunch, to talk and to know our brothers and sisters, to be living in their lives and them living in my life, to know one another. Our Father wants us to do this together. And so, certainly when we gather together corporately, we gather together. And then outside of here, during the week, we seek to cultivate friendship among ourselves outside as well. This also means that we're going to minister together. In March, we're going to have our charter service. And almost about a week after that, I want us to have a night where we have time for dinner together. And then we're going to really start talking about what are the ministries that we want to undertake together as a church family in the city. You know, the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I can tell you guys this morning, I absolutely love Down City Church. I do. And I love every person who is a part of this church. You guys are on my heart and mind every day. And I pray for you. And I want to see you do well. And you know why that is? Because it's my treasure is here. When we first started meeting about this church in 2007, over the past couple of years, I mean, I have given money here. I've given time here and prayer here. I've moved here. I mean, I've put all the chips in for what God is doing here. You know what? And therefore, it means a lot to me. And what happens to a lot of people sometimes is they remain these independent people who don't submit to their Father's will to pursue this mission together, and so they have very little love for the local gathering of believers. You know why? Because they have not put anything in. They just sit there. The church's mission is pursued together. I want to show you one more reference. Look at Colossians chapter 2. After Ephesians, Colossians chapter 2. And verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know what He said He wanted for these Christians? He wanted them, the big thing was, that they would have a full understanding of who Christ is, because in Him is all the wealth of everything that we need, and that as they had this understanding, their hearts were knit together. How connected is being knitted together? That's pretty tight. That's pretty tight. And by the way, guys, you know the Bible says, how is it that this world, Jesus said at the Last Supper, how is it that this world will know that you are my disciples? Because of that love, that heart that is so knit together. So I ask you this morning, do you have a church home? Are you ready to come home? This could be a place that you can belong. And if you've been coming and you say, you know what, okay, I get it. I get it. I want to do this thing together. And as every one of our parts is working, all of us will be more healthy and will represent Jesus in a more clear way because we're pursuing God in the company of friends. I want us to conclude this morning by the thing that really does bring us all together. And we actually celebrated this last Sunday, but I think it's very appropriate for us to celebrate it again this Sunday, and that is we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. I want you to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What is it this morning that brings us together? Well, it's this reality. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" I just told you that at the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have towards one another." And what also happened at the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper. And so in keeping with that, as our heart this morning is embracing what our Father has said to us, that the church's mission is pursued together, let's celebrate that by partaking of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask now again for John and Dave, if you guys would come. We're going to pass out the bread first. And I encourage all of us, as we take the Lord's Supper this morning, the Bible says, if you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that when we partake of this bread, we're doing it in remembrance of Jesus. We are saying this morning that we are a family. Matter of fact, we're going to sing this song, which you see inside the last page. You're going to see it on the wall in a second. We share the Lord together. And so this morning, if you say, "You know what? I have come to believe that Jesus is the Savior, and I want to remember what he has done for me," then we invite you to partake. If you say, "You know, I don't know that yet, I'm not there yet," then I would invite you not to partake, because this is for those who have come to that saving faith. And you can just welcome to listen and to as we partake this. But as John begins to play the verse of the song, they're going to distribute the bread this morning. Would you guys look at this song inside the back cover here? The first verse says, "We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through his loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread. Come drink the wine. Come share the Lord." In a second, I want us to sing this verse, and then we will partake of the bread. You know, the Bible says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we are healed." When a Christian partakes of a Lord's Supper, he is remembering that when Jesus, by giving his body on the cross, on that body, he took all of my sins on the cross. So that by his wounds, I can stand here this morning completely healed. Because someone actually really dealt with everything that I've ever done that was in contrary to God's will. Jesus took it all on the body on the cross. And so when we partake the Lord's Supper, this bread symbolizes the Lord's body. And so we're thanking Jesus. We're remembering this morning what he has done for us. The Bible says then, "In the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And I'll ask Dave and John now to come and distribute the cup as John plays. Look at the second verse. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. "The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord." The Bible says, knowing this, that you are not redeemed, you are not delivered from your bondage to sin by perishable things like silver or gold, from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. Some people teach that if you want to be at peace with God, go give him an offering. Go give a donation. Go light something. Go light incense. Make God happy with you. The Bible says you are not redeemed with those things. The only way that you and God are made at peace, the Bible says, is by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb unblemished and without spot. This morning, when we drink this cup, it reminds us of the blood of Jesus, which is the only thing that can deliver us from sin and make us at peace with God. And so we as Christians celebrate that this morning. And now let's sing this third verse together. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, and come share the Lord. Before we sing that verse, I just want to say to all of you this morning that are here, if you are not a part of a church home, we would invite you to have a place to belong. It's great to be a part of what God is doing, and so we invite you to do that.